In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Whenever I begin either to learn a story so that I can tell it as a biblical story, or when I'm beginning to put together a sermon so that I can preach, I pay attention to the details of whatever story it is that I'm working with. And I will pay attention to those details because invariably there's something that really catches my attention, maybe several somethings. And when you find those things, that's the place where you have discovery and challenge and eventually joy. And so it is with the set of today's readings that we've just heard. Because even though I'm going to concentrate mostly on the story from the gospel reading, the readings that we've heard both in Isaiah and 1 Corinthians share some of the same joys and challenges and discoveries. So I'm going to look at the passage from Luke. And the first thing that catches my attention is, isn't it interesting that Jesus decides he needs a little bit of space in front of the crowds because they're pressing him so closely? So what does he do? He gets in the first available boat, and it happens to be Peter's boat. He doesn't even make a polite request. He sees the two boats are empty, because the owners aren't in them and they haven't caught any fish. So he just gets into one of them. And I really love that because it reminds me of a good friend of mine, Jim Scott. I heard him give a witness talk one time about how God came into his life. He was just minding his own business. He was working every day. He happened to be the manager of the local Social Security office. And he brought home the paycheck. He took care of his family. He went to church faithfully. And then someone invited him to go on a renewal weekend. And by the end of that weekend, he decided to give his life to Christ. And everything changed. It remains the same in that he still went to work every day. He still had to deal with the same kind of people. He fed his family. It was the same, but it was different. And he didn't expect that. And he didn't ask for it either. But it seems that Christ just jumped into his boat too. Because you see, sometimes God doesn't ask our permission to get involved in our life, or to encounter us with some special grace. Sometimes God just goes ahead and does it. But let's get back to the gospel for a moment. Jesus does get around to asking Peter something. Put out a bit into the water. And I love the fact that Peter just does it. He'd been fishing all night, of course, and he was cleaning his nets. And I'm guessing that when he got done with that job, all he really wanted was to go home and get a bit of shut-eye. But he takes Jesus out anyway, and we don't know why. Maybe it's that he knew enough about Jesus and he was kind of used to this sort of thing. And don't forget that it wasn't much earlier than this that Jesus visited Peter at his home and healed his ill mother-in-law. So maybe he's grateful that Jesus did that and he's willing to do just about anything that Jesus asks. So he takes Jesus out. And maybe he's just that kind of guy. The kind of guy who would push out from shore even though he was dead tired just because you asked him to. And I love that about this story. And I'd like to tell you a little more about our friend Jim. He was like that too. He'd go the extra mile for people, for clients, for people he worked with, for friends, for family. And pretty soon he was going out into some of that deeper water, at church too. He took on a leadership position. He helped with administrative sorts of things. And he surprised himself doing it. But he'd made a commitment to Christ and he kept on going. Now, in our gospel, I love what happens next. When Jesus is done teaching the crowds, he's not really done with all the teaching he's about to do for that day. In fact, he's just getting started. Because, again, God's like that. Always up to something a little more than we can imagine. And I love that Peter, again, does something that doesn't make a lot of sense. He goes out and lets down his nets, the ones he just finished cleaning, no less, after he'd been fishing all night and hadn't caught anything. And it's interesting to note that there's nothing different about the way that he fishes. He doesn't have any new nets or different nets. He doesn't go to a special spot in the lake. He doesn't use some new technique or gimmick. Nothing at all is different from what he did all night long, except Jesus spoke to him. And then he and his friends did exactly what Jesus asked him to do. And so it was the word that Jesus spoke that made the difference. Because, again, Jesus is God's own holy word. And when God speaks and Jesus speaks, these people do what God asks. Even when hearing the word makes it hard for them to believe. And I can just imagine, I love to imagine what the looks on their faces must have been as they struggled and struggled to bring this unexpected catch of fish in. Fish that hadn't been in that spot even a little while before this. They have to call their friends to come and help, and they can barely get the whole catch to shore. Wonder and delight and a touch of awe, perhaps, they thought that they weren't going to be able to have anything to sell that day, and here they have this incredible catch of fish. And that's the kind of unusual thing that often accompanies an encounter with the Lord. And I have to say that I love the idea that however much Peter thought he knew Jesus, only now he's beginning to realize he probably doesn't really know Jesus, at least not as well as he thinks he does. And he's only just beginning to realize who and what Jesus is all about. And that scares him a little. Now, maybe we could attribute Peter's confession to maybe a lack of esteem, self-esteem. Or we could say it was an appropriate confession of his own sinfulness in light of the fact that there he was in the presence of the sinless one. And I think that each time we experience sheer grace, we're simultaneously joyful and maybe too a little bit afraid. We're struck by how much more we've received from God than we ever thought we deserved or could even imagine. We might even be left wondering how such a blessing could come our way when suddenly we realize we're caught up in something that's so much bigger than ourselves. And I love what Jesus says next. Do not be afraid. And note that Jesus doesn't say anything about you're forgiven, which maybe is a little bit odd, in that Peter just acknowledged that he himself saw that he was a sinner. But you know, it's kind of wonderful too. It reminds us that Jesus forgives us to be sure, but also that he's offering so much more. And in this case, he offers Peter comfort and encouragement. And I love how often these same words appear. The promise and command to be not afraid. That appears over 120 times in the Bible. And we know how often it appears in the Gospels. It reminds us that Jesus comes so that we don't have to be afraid anymore. Don't you just love that? And I love that Jesus doesn't stop at the encouragement and comfort that he offers, but he moves on and gives Peter something to do. And Peter probably likes that a lot. Peter, as we know through all the rest of the stories of him in the Gospels, he likes doing things. He likes being active. But what Jesus gives him now is something bigger and larger than anything he could ever imagine. Catching people up into the unimaginable and life-changing grace of God, that's what he's being offered, a chance to help do that. And Peter has no reason to expect that call. But Jesus ignores that and calls him anyway. And isn't that just the way that God works? Always choosing the unlikeliest of characters, putting aside all their doubts and all their fears, all their excuses and all of their professed shortcomings. And then just going ahead and doing something marvelous through them. I love that. And of course, the story's not quite done. Because after these words, the fishermen give everything up. Their professions, their livelihood, their family and friends, everything in order to follow Jesus. And while you can love watching them do that, frankly, I know he's not just speaking to them, and I don't know that I'm so sure that I love that part. It's really interesting to see them give everything up and follow him, but I know he's not talking just to Peter and his friends. He's talking to us too. And he's telling us to put aside all our doubts and fears, to put aside all our excuses and our own professed shortcomings, because he wants to do marvelous things through us too. And then I've got to ask the question, would I follow Jesus? Do I follow Jesus? Would I give up everything for Jesus? And those are serious and significant questions. And yet, as much as I wonder about those questions and how I might answer them, I really wonder about my own adequacy to be able to respond well to the Lord's call. I'm reminded that the story is not yet over. And Jesus is still coming to each one of us and saying, don't be afraid. Fear not, don't be afraid. He's still coming to call us to things that we can't imagine we'd be part of. And he isn't finished calling people who know their own sins and their own doubts, their own fears, and their own shortcomings. Jesus is still coming to us and speaking to us and accomplishing in us all that he's asked us to do. Because that's what the Word of God does. Always. And that's a part of the story that I invariably really, really love. Now, my husband and I were indeed blessed to have met Jim Scott and his wife, Marg, early on in our marriage. They would never see themselves as fishers catching people for Jesus, but they sure were mentors for us. We saw how they lived their everyday lives. We saw how they worked. We saw how they parented their children. We saw how they offered friendship to the most unlikely people you would ever want to meet. And we saw them bring to Christ those people that they could. They taught us a lot. And they would never have seen themselves as perfect either. Just servants of the Lord, taking one faithful step at a time. When Jim told that one story to us about how Jesus entered his life, he ended it by saying, "It's one of the biggest pains to have God messing with every aspect of your life, but I wouldn't have it any other way." For you see, God's the one who loves you just as you are, right here and now. And through Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit, you are always invited to grow, to let go of your doubts and your fears and the things that you see as inadequacies. God, who made you, has given you enough and even more than enough so that you too can put into the deeper waters of your lives and go out for the biggest catch that you can possibly imagine. And God will empower you, direct you, and reward you as you step out in faith. So, take courage. Do not be afraid. And launch out with Jesus on the biggest adventure in your life in faith. Amen. May it be so.